You are listening to The Dr. Kinney Show, and I'm your host, Erin Kinney, a naturopathic doctor and speaker who's passionate about teaching you how to understand what is happening in your body, why your body is reacting the way it is, and how to make the appropriate changes in your life to get your body back into balance. Something I've learned from my private practice is that the more patients know about their health, the more likely they are to make better diet and lifestyle choices, which ultimately leads them to a faster recovery. Each week, you are going to learn actionable tips, tricks, and teachings from myself, along with the help of top experts in the holistic health community, so that you can make better informed decisions about your body and your healthcare. Let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Dr. Kinney Show. This week, I have joining me Laura K. Rowe, who is a veteran journalist, author, and yogi with a really cool story that I'm excited for her to share on the show today. Laura, thank you so much for being here and for agreeing to chat and share your story.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. So can you tell our listeners kind of what your journey has been and how you ended up where you are today?
Multifaceted journey. I always say that writing is my life and yoga and meditation saved it. Been a journalist since 19 in college.
Oh, wow.
Also an author now. Found yoga, which helped me find meditation, through stress, low back, autoimmune. Typing on deadline, multiple deadlines, working for a newspaper in Maryland, and my back went out. And I was laying on a floor on a pad for 5 days.
Wow.
I couldn't move. And I found yoga through the back door. Also had some autoimmune flare-ups. And one of my physicians here in LA said, yeah, you should do yoga and reduce your stress. And your back issues are muscular. Yoga meditation is going to help. And it was life-changing. It was a game changer.
But did you listen to your doctor when they first told you?
I had my back went out like 3 or 4 times.
3 or 4 times before you listened.
And I was getting discoid rashes and my stress. Wow. You know, when you're a journalist, surrounded by a lot of anxious, stressful
situations.
I'm a journalist now, but I write about health and wellness.
Which is awesome.
Yes. And I teach yoga now after doing about 8 trainings. And I teach meditation and have a meditation book out. And I'm also an author. I have a couple of novels under my belt. But
really cool. Well, and we were going to have a little chat about meditation. I was just joking because I remember when someone first told me to do yoga, I was a runner and I had back issues, all kinds of stuff. And I was like, I'm not going to do yoga. I will never be a yogi. And I think it took several years and now I'm a huge yogi and I love meditation, but sometimes it takes us hearing it multiple times before we're actually like, okay, I'll go try that yoga. So, okay, I will start doing a meditation practice.
You're speaking my language. I was a type A runner in New York City, getting my graduate degree, running every day. And, you know, so here are you.
Yeah. And I think maybe we can talk about some different meditation hacks because I deal with, when I treat patients, most of my patients are type A, you know, they're high functioning women, they're doing a million things and their stress level's high. And when you tell someone like that to calm their brain down, people are like, wait, what? No, I can't be in a calm. My body and mind does not function in that space, but it's almost extra important to get your brain in that calm space when you are that high paced person, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Because you need a timeout from the monkey mind and the fear that starts building and the anxiety. And then this underlying thought that might not even be a thought, it's more of an energy of I'm not enough unless I do to prove my worth. I feel women and men have that masculine quality. I need to do fill in the blanks. And so it just sort of fuels that monkey mind. And when you can be instead of always do, you can allow more self-love, self-care, acceptance. And what we give ourselves is all we can give other people. So I feel strongly that it's important for strong.
Yes, it's very important. So if you're speaking to someone who is just entering their first, you know, foray into meditation, what tips would you give them?
To make it easy.
Yeah. Or someone who's just starting. Okay, just to make it easy. And what would that look like?
you don't need to hire a guru. You don't need to feel uncomfortable. It's as natural as listening to an air conditioner. When I lived in New York, I always had white noisemakers in my room because as a little girl, I had air conditioning always running. I'm from the South originally. And an air conditioning unit at the beach. So I would hear the ocean waves and I'd hear this humming. And I didn't realize, but as a little girl, I was meditating. Yeah. You come back from the beach, you let room, you turn it on, and you just listen and quiet your mind. It can be as easy as that. And one of the reasons why I created this meditation book, which is also of my photographs, was to help people during the pandemic when you're very, 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 very stressed. Lots going on, especially in the early few months of the pandemic. You look at a photograph and that almost sort of knee-jerk, it's a way of tugging your mind away from your present, almost like when you go to a vacation. So you look at this beautiful photograph, you start to think about the photograph. Where is it? You look at it. And then there's a prompt for a 5-minute meditation. Yeah, that's it.
And that's great.
Read the prompt. I make them breathe and roll their shoulders because I believe that the breath helps quiet the mind as well. You take a few deep breaths and then you can just close your eyes and do a meditation. Set your phone for 5 minutes. Yeah. And make it easy because it doesn't have to be something that is daunting. You don't have to sit in easy pose, which is not an easy pose. Crisscross applesauce is hard for a lot of runners, you know, but it's, you don't have to sit in a pose. You don't have to be uptight with your,
you could lay down.
And you don't have to be in complete stillness and quiet. You can go into the bathroom in the office. People are going back to the office now. Or you can go outside instead of the coffee break, sit down somewhere, even in your car. It doesn't matter. You just give yourself these little mini breaks. Mm-hmm. And I think of it as letting steam out of a kettle, just a little bit. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be, oh, I don't have time to meditate. I don't have 15, 20 minutes. It's fine. You can relax your mind and detach a little bit so you're less reactive.
Mm-hmm. I like that you have the pictures in your book because I often, when I'm telling people, because the common complaint that I hear why people haven't started a meditation practice is they're like, well, I can't get my mind to shut up even for 5 minutes. My mind is constant. And they think that meditation, that the point of it is to completely stop thought, but that's not actually the point. It's to try to, as you were saying, it's to try to kind of refocus the thought. And I sometimes will have people, they'll close your eyes. Maybe we don't think of it as meditation. Let's just think of it as like a daydream. So let's picture your favorite vacation spot. Or if you're actually looking at a picture, sometimes that could be helpful. Like look at that picture and imagine that you're in that picture. And that act of imagining is a meditative act in and of itself, right? So it's like a visualization almost. What'd you say?
You're teaching meditation to your patients.
Yeah. I'm so passionate about meditation. I think it's so important. Because I mean, there's so much research behind how amazing it is for so many health conditions and how it literally takes us out of fight, flight, and it resets the body stress response. So it is the number one best thing you can do if you have any sort of stress-related condition. And at the end of the day, most conditions are related to stress. So it's a really important health practice.
And it's fun to see, because I'm sort of an East meets West yogi, and I love writing about meditation for magazines because you can pull studies. They're now able to study the effects on the brain, growing telomeres, helping synaptical areas fire a little bit more. We get set in our ways as well. That helps us to. And I love hearing about also the connection to heart because women, heart health should be up front and center. That is the number one killer of women, heart health. Mm-hmm. And so when we lower our stress, we're less likely to have high blood pressure, to have a stroke. And we're trying to do it all these days. You know, we've got the kids.
We are trying to do it all.
And then we're getting so into that masculine, I'm telling everyone what to do all day long. It's very hard to get back into the feminine of allowing. And I think meditation helps with that as well. So
yeah, that's a good point you bring up that women, and particularly women, not that this doesn't also apply to men, but we're so in go mode and taking care of everyone else all of the time. And this, this thing that it's like allowing our own cups to be filled up for a little bit. So it's like, okay, I'm going to allow the support from universe or whatever it is to regenerate some of my own energy instead of giving out my energy all of the time.
Yeah. And it's a way of taking a pause. I'm taking a little time for myself and the deep breaths, sort of acknowledging what's bubbling up, what feelings are coming in, and that it's okay, instead of letting it bottle. When we keep bottling and bottling and bottling things, that's when we explode. Brene Brown talks about that a lot as well. And so it's fun that there are so many experts from different fields that talk about what meditation can do. So I created this guide for beginners to make it easy, because I do think it can be daunting. And also, it's not audio. Some people don't like the sound of some meditators' voices, and that turns them off of doing some of these fabulous 21-day meditation challenges. Mm-hmm. You can do it yourself. So
yes, that's really great. So where can people find your book?
Yeah, it's free this month. Yeah,
oh, we love exciting. That. Yeah, we love
it. It was originally created for some of my yoga students. I work with some cancer patients, and they're very stressed. And it's like a workbook, and you have in the back areas to write your intentions. I think it's important to set intentions about being rather than doing after meditation. So I had not made an ebook for that reason, just, you know, but I decided I just had this epiphany to just make it an ebook, because people can print it if they want to.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't, great.
Not everyone is going to want to set their intentions either. So it's an, you just go to amazon.com. Mm-hmm. You can probably just put in my name and find it. But if you do amazon.com/author/ Laura K. Rowe, R-O-E, like fish eggs.
That's
and you'll
great.
Get the meditation. And also next week, the ebooks for back therapy and balance will be a part of that bundle.
So you can, oh, awesome. Well, when this airs, that will be an option. So that's great. That's super cool. Yeah. So talk to me a little bit more about how meditation like improved your, I mean, I talked a little bit about how it helped like with the autoimmune stuff, but what else has it done for you personally?
Oh my gosh. So much. And life is never perfect. It's always in session. It can be lifey.
It can be lifey.
I am a single mom of two boys, and I've been a single mom for 12 and a half years.
Wow.
And I'm 13 years old. And fiercely independent, trying to do it all, you name it. That's kind of my personality type. And it just helps me to be more mindful and mm-hmm. to slow down a little bit. Okay, if I don't get everything done at the end of the day, I try to spend more time listening, trying to understand more than be understood. And I think for a lot of us women, we want to be seen and heard and all these things. I was listening to Dr. Gray too, and that's how, another way to build estrogen when you,
yeah.
you know, you're talking to your girl. I get that. But for me with the kids, it was very important to me to not be this gerbil on a wheel, to slow down. It's great that they have soccer. It's great that they have activities, but running around all the time is not my idea of being mindful and grateful and enjoying the moment. And that's what, and I can get into, like anyone, this feeling of, my ex-husband, who's a great dad, by the way, you know, cheers to him. He's listening. But he lived in Europe for a long time and traveled. So, mm-hmm. you know, when I would go for a whole month without a break, I could get really, really resentful and angry. And then what happens? I can snap at someone. Mm-hmm. And it has nothing to do with whatever that person has done, including my kids. And so meditation really helped me to realize that everything is working out exactly as it is supposed to. And if I need self-care and I need time for myself, that's on me. Mm-hmm. My happiness is my own responsibility. It's not someone else. No one else is to blame for it or responsible for it. And so when I can pause and breathe and meditate and quiet the mind, suddenly I'm so detached from whatever was bothering me before, or I get little epiphanies afterwards just from letting it go. And that's really important to know which battles to fight and which one to let go of.
Yeah.
Critical.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. I think sometimes it's nice for people if they're in the beginning stages of trying to add meditation into their lifestyle to hear what it's done. And obviously this is something that you've obtained. It's not like this happened for you overnight. I always try to tell people about meditation that it's like training for a marathon. You're not going to wake up tomorrow and run 26 miles. You're going to put in the time. You're going to, you know, you're going to run, you're going to practice. Just like meditation, you have to do it every day. To get, and the more you do it, the better practice that you become, the more beneficial it will, the better a tool it will be for you as that pause. Wouldn't you agree? When you first kind of start doing it, it might feel a little weird. And sometimes when you're on the go all the time and you allow yourself to pause, it feels unnatural at first. I still sometimes, because I do a lot of things. I'm a very like, I love to relax, but sometimes when I'm in go mode and I try to take those pauses, it feels very foreign. And I have to be like, no, this is okay. I want this. I want to embrace the calm. Because sometimes the calm, when you're so used to the hamster wheel and a constant go, 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 you feel a little like out of your skin almost when you're in that calm space.
There's ways to incorporate it every day. Mm-hmm. You can meditate on the soccer field.
Something like that.
You can, watching your kids at a baseball game or soccer game, you literally can take a few calming breaths. No one around you will even know.
Yeah.
And you can detach whatever drama isn't serving you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tool that I had to do a lot because I came to realize that a lot of moms, whether you're a single mom or not, it doesn't matter. Most of us are exhausted. And when I was single without kids and working all the time, we can get depleted. It's not just for moms. But what I'm trying to say, when I was in the newsroom around a lot of people who had insanely bad habits and it was just noisy, I couldn't think straight.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with if I have deadlines and I'm on the soccer field and maybe there's some people around me who aren't watching the game and are talking and gossiping, I can just sort of detach a little bit, walk away from them, sit at a different spot in the grass, just smile and say, oh, I'm going to get some sun. Yeah. And then breathe a little bit. And even as I'm watching the game, I can meditate in a way, a mindful way.
Yeah.
Look at what foot is he kicking with? What is that? It's a way of noticing
mm-hmm.
that allows everything else that's bothering you to stop
mm-hmm.
because you're paying attention. I knew some mindful meditators say you can do it while you're brushing your teeth. You can think about going up and down, side to side. That's not my preference, but it is a way to baby step in to, instead of I'm brushing my teeth, but I'm really thinking, did my kid pack a lunch, the water bottle? Do I have this done for my boss in time? Because when we're like that, that's when we're likely to leave the coffee cup on top of the car and drive off. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Where all the coffee cabinets open in the house.
Yeah. Because we're not really there.
No, that's not. Because you're thinking about 15 different things. And this, I think I talk to some of my patients about this a lot, where people are like, they'll tell me that they struggle with memory and brain fog. And when we kind of parse it, we're like, okay, well, are you actually focused in on what you're doing in the moment? Because some people can get really good at, you can be having a conversation and listening to something else. Or you could be, brushing your teeth and thinking, and you might not even remember that you brushed your teeth. It's like when you're driving and talking on the phone and you auto drive to the wrong place, which I've done that multiple times. You go like, oops, I went to school instead of to work or whatever.
Because you mentioned that, I'm just going to mention this really quickly. There was about 12 years ago, an article in the New York Times. I used to freelance the New York Times, and it was called Brain Drain.
I think I remember that article.
I loved it because my mother got early onset Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. I think it was stress related.
Yeah.
And when I would start to have these moments when I had a 7-year-old and an infant, and of course I would have these moments. I mean, come on, and I'm doing it by myself, whatever. I started worrying, am I getting early onset? What's happening? Mm-hmm. And I read this article and it's like, oh no, this is totally, we get overload, mm-hmm. overload. So by Friday, today's Friday, by Friday, if you've been running, men or women, it's almost like you're that wind up doll that's the head's coming down.
It's just going to stop.
Yeah. You can't make one more decision. Mm-hmm. The article said that men got this quite a bit.
Decision.
So,
because they've been making decisions
when the girl,
all week.
Yeah. The partner is asking them, where do you want to eat tonight? We want our man to make a plan. You decide the restaurant, you decide. And we get on them. It's at the end of the week, they don't.
Yeah, they're like, well, I'm making decisions all day. I can't handle it. Yeah.
I can't make any decisions. And I know I personally get like that when I have too much going on. I can't make a decision at all. And so that's the brain drain. But meditation does help with that too, because you can. It's like steam out of a kettle. Just letting go, a little bit of anxiety.
That's a great analogy, the steam out of the kettle. It's just like letting it go. And I like the soccer. I'm going to remember that, like the soccer field meditation where, or whatever it is, if you're gymnastics or wherever you are that you're doing for some, but you can have a mindfulness moment in that space, which is really nice. That it doesn't have to be sitting down, laying down, because sometimes that's hard to even start building that in. So it's just finding it in those little moments where you can detach.
where you pay attention to what is in front of you, almost as if you were going to paint the picture.
Oh,
painting
is
painting, ecstatic dance. There's a lot of moving meditations. People can do a walking meditation.
Mm-hmm.
I would get so upset at myself if I had too much going on, work related, was worried about deadlines, and then I miss something in front of me that my son's doing on the field. And I was really mad about it because it's just 1 hour, the game.
Yeah.
It's just 1 hour, right? So I would walk away and then pay attention and try to remember details as if I was painting it. Remember the sock color, the shoe color, what happened when their faces got too close together, just little things. So then when we were in the car ride home, I can say, hey, what did that guy whisper to you?
Ooh. Yeah.
And then I'd get more, and then a bonding experience, because it was like, he said blah, 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 blah. And then we could talk about it.
Yeah.
And that's so much better than just gossiping or hanging out with the women who were sort of having venting sessions, but nobody was paying attention to the kids.
Yeah.
And then I felt better about it because I felt more connected to my son the whole way home. We can talk about.
What a beautiful metaphor that is, because there you're obviously you're focusing on your son. So, and that's creating you're improving that relationship, but you're dropping out and you're checking out from the stuff that's stressing you out, and you're focusing in on your son, who obviously brings you so much joy. It's like a joy plus meditation plus gratitude moment. That's like a great way to, it's a great, great metaphor. I love it.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So there are lots of really easy ways that you can bring meditation into your life. I think it's just, and I've seen this with people, it's like once they decide that they're going to add it into their life, then they will make it happen. So it's kind of like, and I hope this episode, if you've been kind of like, I don't know if it's worth it, it's so worth it. It makes such a big difference in, even though it seems like it's a small thing to do, but it, even just these small little moments will have a big impact on the relationship you have with your friends, your family, your children, the relationship you have with yourself. And at a physiological level, it has such an impact on your hormonal health, on your aging, on everything physical that's happening in the body, because we're getting you out of stress mode and into that relax, rest and digest space where the body can actually heal. So it'd be awesome if you could lead us through a meditation, Laura. I think that would be really, really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, meditation is something anyone can do, and it's really great for a little time out if you're feeling the stress or overwhelm from the holidays, or maybe even a little bit of longing and loss, and maybe it's not quite as loud, but on both ends of the spectrum, you can sort of drop in and find a little bit more peace. So what I would suggest is uncross your legs if they're crossed. You know, if you're listening to this in bed, just stay there. Not a big deal. But if you're in a chair, just uncross your legs, plant both feet firmly on the ground. And let's place our hands over our heart space. Yeah. Let's take a deep breath into the nose. Belly rises, ribs expand, full lungs. Hold it for 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Exhale out of your mouth. It's settling our energy. And now breathe peacefully in and out of your nose. Your eyes can be closed. Finding a peaceful rhythm. Just notice where your tension is in your body. The beginning of our meditation is to feel our body. Listen, relax your shoulders, your jaw, the space between your eyebrows. Maybe wiggle your toes, relax the belly, total acceptance. Don't hold it in right now. And I want your mind to just focus on this heart space. In Chinese medicine and in yoga circles, the heart space, the heart chakra, is green. So I want you to focus on something fertile in your life, something fertile, verdant, I should say, green. And remember, that's where things grow. Don't focus too much on what might be growing that you don't want, but just know that that can happen. We can have weeds, right, of jealousy and insecurity and anxiety. And we're just going to let those go. And we're just going to visualize open space, space to breathe, grow. And just notice what comes into your mind, if it's crisp air, mountainside, wide open spaces, a beautiful garden. We're not going to carry this metaphor too long, but I want you to just start relaxing your mind and imagine being in this space, Maybe it's a lush green field. Maybe there's some wildflowers. And I want you to allow yourself to relax in this space. All is well. You're exactly where you're supposed to be. And in this space, ask yourself how you feel, how you want to feel. All right. This is a safe space. It's like our little timeout space. And notice what thoughts come in your mind. Maybe you want to feel more at peace, maybe excited, like open to opportunities. Maybe you need to let go of some noise, let go of some chatter, other people's energy, maybe other people's expectations. And in this quiet space, ask yourself how you want to feel. Approaching the New Year's, no big deal. Don't have to set an intention, but how do you want to feel? And if you want to feel more at peace, more loving, more accepting, maybe set an intention to be more loving, to be more accepting of yourself, of others, to let others be in this open heart space. And I'm going to be quiet now, and I just want you to take 5 breaths. Every inhale, breathing in that peace, that love, that acceptance. With every exhale, just relaxing every synapse, muscle, connective tissue. And start on your own. Whatever's coming in your mind, just let it and let it float out. Maybe your words are different than mine. That's fine. Maybe you want to be forgiving. Maybe you want to be joyful and playful. Allow them in. Be vulnerable. Be open. That is strength. 2 more breaths. Good. And I want to take you all to take a collective deep breath in through the nose. Belly rises, ribs expand, full lungs for 5, 4, 3, 2. Exhale deeply out of the mouth, like steam out of a kettle, letting go. Cleansing breath. You can wiggle your fingers, wiggle your toes, open your eyes, and just notice if in those few minutes you feel a little bit more at ease. A little bit more clarity. And I invite you all to take sort of mini mindful meditation breaks. And you'll notice that you can guide yourself to a beautiful location, especially if you're chattering and you need a visual, like a mini vacation to give you a vista so you can have perspective about what's going on and come back in with a little bit more calm and clarity.
Thank you. That was beautiful. I hope everyone enjoyed that as much as I did. That was great. And you're so right. The little mini, it doesn't have to take very long. I think, what was that, 3 minutes? Just a quick little mini mindfulness break. It can shift your whole physiology, shift your whole day even, which it's meditation is so profound. And yeah, like the mini mindful moments are really, I think, the secret to a lot of things in life. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh my God, I think it is completely the secret that a lot of executives have shared with me over the years from my writing, went back in my days when I was writing business. And I think it, so it doesn't just have to be in the holidays and family. I just viewed it that way. But, you know, if you want to show up and be present for others, we often have to let go of our insecurities and our avenues to be seen and instead just be open and see and listen and show up, and little mini breaks allowing us to be more open really helps with that. Helps with everything, I think.
Yeah, it really does. Well, thank you. This was so awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show. Where can people find you if they are looking for anything that you talked about today?
Oh my gosh, I love that. Thank you. They can find me on laurakroe.com. And I'm really excited to announce I'm collaborating with Canyon Ranch, which is a beautiful retreat.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, so we're doing a creativity retreat, but we'll be doing guided meditations. We'll be journaling and writing for healing so we can let go of some stuff, you know. And so we've got one the weekend of February 24th, a long weekend in Woodside, which is 40 miles outside of San Francisco, up in the Redwood Tree Forest. So gorgeous. And then we've got one coming up in April in Tucson, which is, gosh, 150 acres of Sonoran desert. It's magical.
Sounds amazing.
So I'm really excited by that. And I'll be posting more on my website because we actually just got approved this week. Isn't that amazing? So it's not
such not great news.
Yeah, I'm really excited. It's just such a great reboot with fabulous experts. Like you, once you're there, you can access really anyone, a nature guided hike. You can go see a spiritual wellness person on top of anything that I may be doing. You can create your own sort of getaway, you know? So anyway, I'll be writing more about that on my website soon.
Great. So go check her out on her website. That is awesome. Again, thank you so much for being on the show. Everyone, thank you for listening and we'll see you next week.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of The Dr. Kinney Show. Be sure to follow the show and leave a rating and a review. It supports me so much. Plus, I always love hearing from you guys. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'll talk to you next week.